Well, Merry Christmas. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is born to us this day. Our text for this morning's meditation is from John chapter 1, verse 14. And in reference to Jesus Christ, it says, "And the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." It struck me as I read John chapter 1 this past year, this word glory. It seems to me, until I read this passage, when I thought of the glory of God, I thought of something that I did. I thought of it mainly as a verb, which it can be used as a verb. I am glorifying, or I am praising God. But in fact, the Bible often uses the word glory as a noun. And when the Bible uses glory as a noun, it's talking about God's presence. Because wherever God is, his glory is dwelling. And whenever you see God's glory, you know that God is present. They come one with the other. And so I thought it'd be beneficial this morning to go through the scriptures and kind of track along this word of glory. Because I think that if we realize what St. John realized, Christmas will be more meaningful to us. So let's go back to the beginning. It is a very good place to start. And in the beginning, God and man lived together. They dwelt together in the garden. Adam was in the presence of God every day. But we look at Adam, and he doesn't look afraid. He doesn't look intimidated. He looks quite happy until Adam sins. And with the sin of man, all kinds of evil comes into the world, including death. And man is separated from God. He is pushed out of the garden. And man can no longer live in the presence of God. Man can no longer dwell in God's glory because we are all sinners. And as we move on in the Old Testament, we come to Moses. Now, Moses was a prophet of God, a very special man. He led the people out of Egypt. And when he got to Mount Sinai, it says that the glory of God rested on the mountain. It said that there was fire and smoke, and it was terrifying. And Moses goes to dwell with God on top of the mountain. And after a while, Moses can hear God's voice. Moses knows God's around, but Moses asks God, "Let me see your glory. Let me see your presence. Let my eyes behold you." And God says, "I can't. For if any man, any sinful man, would look on the face of my glory, he would surely die." But God says, "I'll make you a deal. I'll cover your face, and I'll uncover your face just in time so you can see the smallest little glimpse of my glory." Well, this happens, and after it happens, Moses' face shines for days on end. It's about the brightest thing we can imagine. He comes down from the mountain, and the people are terrified. They're terrified just at the smallest glimpse, the smallest reflection of the glory of God. In fact, Moses has to wear a veil over his face. Now, as we move on, we come to the Ark of the Covenant. And we all know what the Ark of the Covenant is. We've seen Indiana Jones. The Ark of the Covenant was carried with poles because no one could touch it. God's glory went wherever the Ark went. And nobody could touch the ark, for that was the presence of God. In fact, when someone reached out and touched it once, they instantly died. No sinner can stand in God's presence. No sinner can touch God's presence. Well, as we go forward in the Old Testament, we come to the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6. And believe it or not, you already know Isaiah chapter 6 because we sing it in church. Holy, holy, holy. Isaiah has a vision of the heavenly throne room. He sees God high and lifted up in all of his glory. There are angels flying around. Isaiah is shocked. He's like, they have six wings, these angels. And the angels are crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are filled with his glory. And what do you think Isaiah did? He fell on his face terrified. He says, I will surely die now, for I have seen God. See, Isaiah knew Moses. Isaiah knew about the ark, and Isaiah knew, I have now stood in the presence of God. I am a goner, for I am a sinner with unclean lips, and I live among a people with unclean lips and unclean hearts. Well, as we move a little bit forward, we start seeing a lot of appearances of angels in the Bible. And what's interesting about the angels, the one thing we know absolutely about angels is that they're very scary. And why we know that angels are very scary is because the first thing they always have to say is, do not be afraid. It's the first thing they always say, do not be afraid. And why that is because, like Moses, their faces shine with the glory of God. And so when an angel appears with a face shining with the glory of God, their voices echoing the glory of God with that thunderous voice, they have to say, do not be afraid. And what's interesting is we have this story in Luke 2 today about when the shepherds see the angels. And the shepherds are just minding their own business on the hill at night. And it says, the glory of God shone around them, and they were terrified, just like you and I would be. And it said, an angel of the Lord appeared to them and said, do not be afraid. And it says, a whole heavenly host appeared to them and said, do not be afraid, for one is born to you this day. He is your Savior, Christ the Lord. Now here is where it gets interesting. Because the angels told them, go see the Savior, go see Christ, he is the Lord. Now when the angels show up in the manger, what happens? Is it what an Old Testament believer would expect? Do they die instantly when they gaze upon the baby? When they touch that baby's newborn skin, do they fall to their death? Are they terrified, sticking their noses in the dirt? No. With the coming of Jesus, the Word made flesh from the Father, something glorious has happened. There has been a change for us. And the change is this. With the coming of Jesus, sinners can now stand in the presence of God. Sinners can now stand in the glory of God. Whereas with Moses was told if he looked at the face of God's glory, he would instantly die. The shepherds look at the face of God's glory, and it gives them life. How cool is that? And they go and tell everybody. They go and tell everyone, and people just marvel. That doesn't make sense. You're saying that you have looked upon the King, the glory of God? And this is the message of Christmas, that with the coming of Jesus, sinners can stand in God's glory. Sinners have life. Now, going back to John chapter 1, John says, the Word became flesh, and he dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. But although John probably knew the story of the shepherds, and John did take care of Jesus' mother later in her life, so I'm sure he knew all the stories of Mary, that is actually not what John is referring to when he says, we have seen his glory. This is pretty cool. Listen to this. Whenever you look through the Gospel of John and you look for phrases like glory, high and lifted up, exalted, it refers to the cross. It refers to the cross. That doesn't seem glorious at all. That seems about the most miserable and unglorious thing that anybody could ever go through. But St. John says that when God is high and lifted up, when he's high and lifted up in his glory upon the cross, all men can look upon him and be saved. Whereas in the Old Testament, looking upon the face of God caused death. Now with the coming of Christ, we must look at the high and exalted Christ on the tree in order to have life. And Christ still comes to us this day. Through your baptism, you are now crucified with Christ. Your life is hidden in his glory because he came for you as a baby and he died for you on the tree and he rose for you on the third day. And God comes to you through his word. Jesus says to the apostles, whoever hears you has heard me. And so when you listen to your pastor every Sunday here at church, you are hearing the voice of God, living in God's presence and glory. And finally, when you come up today to the Lord's table and you cradle your hands, just like that manger cradled our Lord, and you receive his body, you are holding the very presence of the real, true God. And in this meal, we participate in God's glory with the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven. We are dwelling in the glory of God when we come to this altar. Christ Jesus came for sinners. This is a trustworthy statement. And finally, on the last day, because of what Christ has done, because he came for us here in the manger, because he died for our sins, and because he rose for us, the firstborn from the dead, we too shall rise from the dead, and we shall see his face. Revelation tells us this, that we shall see his face. Our own eyes, the eyeballs you can touch this morning, will see the glory of God because of what he has done for you. Amen.